Good, good stuff. I'm going to pick up a little bit where I kind of left off last week and finish up with something that I didn't get to.
I hate when they do that.
Thank you. That was an amen, by the way. I needed the interpretation of what that was. Matthew chapter 16. If you have a paper Bible, you've been here for a while, your Bible is probably open by itself for that passage. I'm not going to teach on specifically Ecclesia. But let's look at verse 12 of chapter 16. So Jesus tells his disciples to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And they thought he was talking about bread because they forgot to bring bread along. And Jesus corrects them. But in verse 12, it says, then they understood he did not say to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Now, they were the religious, but also the political leaders of the day. Rome had control, but they allowed Israel to self-govern. They had their own courts. They were the ones, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They got a Roman cohort, a garrison. They went and arrested Jesus, but it was really the king from the Pharisees and Sadducees. And they were the teachers. And here Jesus comes and says, beware of their teaching.
Yeah.
That's my word for tonight. Well, that's the first one.
Let's get pizza.
Beware of the teaching. Mm-hmm. No matter who it comes from, myself included.
Amen.
Beware, beware, beware. I find it interesting that Jesus said, beware of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Then he goes on and tells his disciple, asks the question, who do people say that I am? Am I a little too loud?
Yeah.
Can you turn me down a little bit? I hear kind of a something.
Feedback.
Hello. How's that, better?
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
So Jesus goes on and asks, they have a revelation of who Jesus really is. He's the Messiah, Son of the living God. Jesus says, this is what I'm going to build. I'm going to build my government, the government of the kingdom of heaven on earth. And Hades cannot overcome it. The gates, the power and authority of Hades is not have any in any way going to overcome this. I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth shall have already been bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall have already been loosed in heaven. I mean, how amazing the power and authority. But he goes on and talks about. And then he says in verse 20, he goes, I don't want you telling anybody about that I am the Christ yet.
Mm-hmm.
Now I find this interesting because it's through the Pharisees and Sadducees, the religious leaders of the Church of England, and as well as Rome, that gave us the teaching of church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Actually came from Satan.
Yes.
But they were used by the enemy to impart church and not ecclesia, and therefore change the whole definition and meaning. And we've been trapped in a false identity ever since.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God that's changing.
Yes, it is.
Verse 21, he says, from that time Jesus began to show. So you see this kind of progression. You have to read it all in context. I know we have chapter breaks and we have heading breaks and we have all these paragraph breaks. But if you keep reading everything in context, he's still in the same mode and context here. From that time, Jesus, because of the revelation of Messiah, and he tells them who they're going to build, now he begins to share with them some deeper truths. Some things he hasn't talked about before, about his crucifixion. He's going to suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and he's going to be killed and be raised up the third day. Verse 22, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. I know it's a very popular passage. We've talked about it many times.
Yeah.
But Jesus asked, "Who am I?" Peter says, "You are the Messiah, Son of the living God." He has this amazing revelation. Jesus says, "No one, no man told you this. You didn't hear it on the radio. You didn't see it on the TV. No preacher. You're not repeating. You're not a parrot repeating, but you've heard other people say, you got this right from my Father." And then Jesus goes on and says, "Well, I'm going to be tortured, really, and I'm going to be killed." And Peter pulls Jesus aside and begins to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord, this shall never happen to you." We're some fickle people, aren't we, as peoples? We can get divine revelation 1 second and be so in the flesh and in emotions the next.
Amen.
Come on.
I believe Peter's motives were probably pure in this. He loved Jesus, didn't want that to happen to him, but he's responding out of his emotion. He's responding out of human reasoning. And look what Jesus says. "It's going to be okay, Peter. Don't worry about it. We'll get through this together." Jesus is a pastor when he needs to be. He's a prophet when he needs to be. And he's an apostle when he needs to be.
Oh.
And he's an evangelist when he needs to be. And he's a teacher when he needs to be.
Yep.
And when Peter started speaking, he recognized that was not the voice of my dad.
Yeah.
"Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. For you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but on man's." This is such a powerful and important lesson for us to hear, learn, and understand, especially where we're at in culture, in the day in which we live, and what's going on in our nation. Because Christianity has been rebranded.
Amen.
To a point to where it's really not Christianity, not biblical Christianity.
Right.
And I'm talking about culturally. Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. For you're not setting your mind on God's interests, but on man's." What do you think? What's coming to you? What's Jesus actually saying to you? Right. See, Scripture tells us He sent His Word to heal us.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. We need healing in other ways than just physical.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
You're setting your mind on man's interest, on your personal preference.
Yeah.
On your light and dislike, on what you want to see happen and not happen. Jesus said this type of thinking is a stumbling block to my will. This is a powerful statement. Many are working really hard in culture today to divorce absolute truth from Scripture.
Yeah, that's true.
Even within the body.
Amen.
Politicians are doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Musicians or music industry, they're doing it.
Yeah.
Sports figures are doing it.
Movie makers.
All right, I'm just going to say it, okay? When we have people that are, you see, sometimes Christians get enamored when people are praying or use the term Jesus or say, I'm a Christian on TV yes. in front of the cameras. Yes. But they pay no attention to their lifestyle.
Yep.
Right. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Now, I'll just give you a real blatant one right now. And that's Pete Buttigieg. That's running for the Democratic office. He's a homosexual and he's married and kisses his husband on stage. And that's just, I'm just talking about him, I'm not talking about all of his beliefs, political beliefs. And then says he's a Christian. See, this is what I'm talking about, is Christians being rebranded.
Yes.
Being culturally relevant, culturally acceptable. We had another president for two terms that did the same thing.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But it's amazing how many Christians get deceived into this.
Yes.
Because they can even quote some scripture sometimes. Mm-hmm. Say some things. Make it sound like.
Yeah.
Scripture is full of, you know, beware. Sheep's and wolves' clothing. Matthew 7, we talked about that so many different times. Many, Jesus said, are going to come to me on the last day saying, Lord, Lord, they've been calling me Lord, Master, Savior. We did all of these things. Prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, did miracles in your name. And Jesus is going to tell them, depart from me, I never knew you. You practice a lifestyle of lawlessness.
Right.
We can say the right things. We can go to the right churches, we can read the right Bible, we can do all of the right things. And none of those things, and even be functioning in the gifts, but they don't validate our lifestyle. Because God can use a donkey, he can use a rock. And that can become very deceptive. We must have ears to hear and eyes to see. And not get caught up in some of this stuff that's happening in our culture, thinking, oh, they're Christians, oh, they're good. The deception is rampant. It is just infiltrated. It's an amazing, amazing thing. We have got to know Scripture. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, he didn't throw out his opinion. He said, it is written.
Yes.
And the enemy had nothing. He cannot combat the word, especially if you're living the word and then you're quoting the word.
Yes.
He has no option. He has no weapons for that. But he knows the imposters, the posers, as they used to say.
Yes.
Jesus said, "We are to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God."
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That presupposes something. That we know his voice and we know what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
Whether he's already written it or he's speaking it. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to condense this 2-hour message to 20 minutes. Let's look at verse 22 again. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord, this shall never happen to you. I'm guilty. I'm guilty of giving my opinion. I'm throwing stuff out there just because I can't see it, nor do I understand it. I mean, trying to figure out, you've been waiting for the Messiah shows up, you're now convinced he's the Messiah, you got revelation on it, and you're going to do what? Die? And leave? We just gave up 3 years where we've been following you everywhere, and you're leaving. But not only are you just leaving, you're going to be crucified? It's not an easy thing to swallow, to try to comprehend. I mean, especially if you have the understanding, well, I thought you were setting up your kingdom. We're putting a crown on you. We got the robe ready. You know, everything. When you start seeing like you've been doing something for so long, all of a sudden it's, what is going to happen now? I didn't see that coming. I love Jesus because He's not a little pansy guy. He just dealt with it directly. Get behind me, Satan. I see it another way, too. And I'm just going to give you my thought of this. Like, he is angry that he's now, Satan is using his God.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. Right. Yeah.
Using his mouth. Yeah. Stop it, Peter. Stop putting your mind on man's interest when you think. Human reasoning. Now, let's not forget the whole wilderness thing. The enemy tried to get Jesus to not go to the cross. I'll give you all this stuff. I'll give you the shortcut. You can have all the kingdoms if you just do this. Be real simple, right? No pain. Well, not at the beginning of effort. It's going to be a lot of pain.
I would even bet Peter probably had a plan already worked out how
he was going to
help Jesus avoid this.
You never know. Peter was always thinking. Get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. For you're not setting your mind, taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Can I say that again? Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Every thought, not just your good ones, not just your bad ones, every thought. You're not setting your mind. Now, here's what Jesus does. Are you ready for this? This is what I really wanted to talk about tonight. He says, I'm going to tell you how you cannot set your mind on man's interest. You ready for this? Are you sitting down? I'm glad you are. Verse 24. Jesus said to his who?
Disciples.
If anyone wishes to come after me, let's just stop right there. Let me try to get you to commit by raising your hand. How many of you have already made the decision, or you want to make the decision that you want to come after, you want to follow Jesus? All right. I didn't see one hand down. You're committed now. So what comes next?
Deny yourself.
So what does anyone wishes to come after me? Let's. What does that mean?
I interest your second place.
Well, just the first part. Anyone wishes to come after me. What does that mean?
Follow
Jesus.
Yep.
Now, who's everyone? Because he says of anyone. So anyone is everyone. it's anybody. So it could be Jew, Gentile, but not. Anybody that wants to follow Jesus. You ready for the second part? He must. Now, if you're reading an Amplified Bible, it doesn't say must. If you're reading King James or New King James, it doesn't say must. Write them in there. Because the original scripture says must. But some versions, some translations took the word must out. And almost made it sound like it's optional. It says, if anyone wishes to, let him. No, it's must. Jesus is saying, this is the only way. There's no other way. This is a requirement. It is a must. There is not a level A Christianity and a level B Christianity and a level C. There's just one. If you want to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus, you must deny yourself. What does that mean? Not your way, but his way. What else? What does it mean to deny yourself?
His priorities over your own.
Exactly. His priorities over your own. Anything else?
Selflessness.
Selflessness. Good. Anything else?
Avoiding Satan's weapons.
What's that?
Avoiding Satan's weapons.
In Matthew 10, verse 38, 39, you don't have to turn there, I'll read it for you. It says, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. That's in red. Jesus said it. I didn't. I'm just repeating it. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. It's pretty straightforward. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. That's Matthew 10, 38 through 39. But he says something very similar here. If anybody wants to follow me, he must. This is a requirement. It's not optional. In other words, if you don't, you're not following me. You have to deny yourself. You have to deny your own selfish ambitions. Your self-life. What you want to do, how you want to do it, when you want to do it. Because you've been bought with a price. You don't belong to yourself anymore. You chose this because you said, I want to follow. That's becoming a bond servant, not just a slave, but a bond slave, a bond servant. What's the difference? A bond servant is a servant by choice. I chose to be your servant. I want to serve you. You put the all through my ear and the hearing in my ear. I am yours because I want to be. You've set me free and I can go, but I don't want to go. I want to stay. I want to serve you forever.
Find a way to get that candle through the eye of the
needle. Yeah. We must lay down our personal interests, desires, preferences, likes, and dislikes. Now, that doesn't mean that God won't give you options and let you do things that you want to do. It doesn't mean that. But our culture in America, it's all about me.
Yes.
It's about what I want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to do it, because I'm a freak. We can do it. Then Jesus goes on, so we didn't get there. He says, and take up his cross and follow me. Now, sometimes I think we use that, you know, I got the cross to bear. It's just such a burden. You know, we use that term kind of anti-biblical.
Yes.
But when it says, take up your cross, what does that mean? You got something to do? James,
there's suffering involved.
Consider yourself crucified with Christ.
Yep, crucified with Christ. To take up one's cross, what really came from the Romans.
Yes.
Because when you were condemned to die by crucifixion, they forced you to carry a part of your cross. Usually the cross came over your shoulder. And march through the city. And the reason they did that was, it was your last act. The criminal, this was their last act, even though it was forced, of submission and in full agreement to the Roman authorities. Mm-hmm. And Jesus says, you must deny yourself, and this is still within the must, by the way. You must take up your own cross. Which means I am actively in total submission to you. The one whom I rebelled against, I am now in submission to.
Amen.
And it's not forced like the Roman government did it.
Right.
It is now by choice. But if we want to follow him, we must do that by choice.
Mm-hmm.
Or, Jesus said you must. He didn't. There wasn't another option. If you don't want to do it that way, guys, I got another way. No, he didn't do that. If that's too rough, we'll do it a little easier. No, he didn't do that. That's the American church does that.
All right.
Cool.
Jesus didn't do that. If anyone wants to follow me, he has to deny himself. The whole self-life, and really that's what you're also doing by taking up your cross. Because you are now acting as you are submitted 100% to him. And conformity to his will. Conformity to Christ's likeness. And we're going to pattern our life now after the one who really did take up his cross and get nailed on it. Because that's really what a disciple is. One who is disciplined in the ways of Christ. You glad you came tonight?
Yes.
Well, let me say a few more things maybe for change. And then follow. So deny self, take up cross, and then follow. We think the follow part's easy. He goes places I don't want to go sometimes. And when we get there, he has you do things and say things I don't want to do. So.
Yep.
That's not always the easy thing. If anyone wants to follow me, he has to deny himself, take up his cross, and follow. Now, this is not a one-time act. This is to characterize our life. Verse 25 says, for whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it.
Yes.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
Yes.
No, really. Do you really believe that?
Yes.
Think about it tonight, tomorrow. Then, do you really believe that? I'm just going to be honest with you. I struggle with it. I struggle with it. What did Jesus say? My yoke is really terribly hard.
Yeah.
My burden will just wipe you out. That's not what he said, right? For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. You know, he's basically saying, you're going to lose your life by denying yourself and taking up your cross and following. But in that process, you are going to discover something you would have never found before. You are going to discover the real life, that Zoe life. He's talking about Suge life here. Soul life. You're going to lose your soul. But he came to give us what? Zoe.
Amen.
That abundant life. The same quality and type of life God has, Jesus had, that he walked the earth with. Then he says in verse 26, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world? He has all the status of the world. He's popular. He's well known. He's got the money. He's got a yacht, a plane. He can do anything, buy anything, go anywhere, dress how he wants, get any car or multiple cars that he wants. Or you're just satisfied with life. You're happy with life. Right where you're at, doesn't matter that you're trying to get a bunch of stuff, that you're just happy and satisfied with life. But you've gone your own way. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world, but he forfeits his soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? I'm going to close with this, mainly because it's the end of it. For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with angels.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Something jumped out at me about this. I just got to share it with you. And will then repay every man according to his deeds. Let me read it again and see if it jumps out at you. For the Son of Man is going to come. He's going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels. And will then repay every man according to his deeds. That just jumped out at me. See, so often we're waiting at different periods of our life for God to do this, God to do that, God to give. What does he say right here? When I come.
Yes.
In his glory.
Yeah.
When I come, I'm going to repay you then. Oh my God. I got chills.
Woo, Jesus.
Okay. See, sometimes we're ready for the repayment right now. Maybe not. What was the younger son? Pay me right now. Give it to me right now. Give me all the inheritance. I got stuff to do. Dude. Let's keep in context that if you want to be a disciple, you got to deny yourself, you got to take up your cross, and you got to follow him. And living a lifestyle like that, Jesus says, when I come, I'm going to repay you.
Yes.
Doesn't he tell a parable similar to that too?
Mm-hmm.
When the owner's gone a long way, and when he comes back, he repays.
Mm-hmm.
Is anybody blessed by that? I got blessed by that.
Amen.
That's faith.
Thank you.
Living how he called us to live. And I'll take care of you when I get back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be watching you guys getting taken care of on the sidelines. Dale getting all high for less right now. I even preached a sermon and I be good. Truly I say to you, there are some of those who are standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And six days later, he takes Peter, James, and John. He goes up the mountain on the Mount of Transfiguration. He has a metamorphosis of a change. What did he change into? How he's going to look when he comes back?
Mm-hmm.
And Moses and Elijah are right there talking with him. And what does Peter do? Oh, it is really good for us to be here right now. I don't even know, honestly, if I would be able to talk. Like, I find it amazing that he had words to say, but Peter always found some words. It's really good. How about I build a tabernacle?
Right.
One for Moses, one for Elijah, one for you, Jesus. This is really cool, too, because I think Peter was seeing Feast of the Tabernacles.
Mm-hmm.
And that last feast being complete in what he was witnessing. God speaks again. Get ready. Lord, thank you so much for your word.
Amen.
Pray that we have ears to hear what you are saying, what the Spirit is saying and doing. God, we would take your word to heart.